So hello, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT case study call for the month of March 2019. And I want to just refresh everybody on what these calls are about. And we have two new people who I would like to introduce themselves to everybody tonight. So these are the calls where people get to submit cases in advance, and there's a form and you fill out all the history and everything about this different person, upload labs, whatever, and we're going to go through them. And we usually do 2 to 3 at the most on these calls. So we're going to try to get 3 in, yay, because we have 3 submitted tonight. So I would love it, though, before we get started, for our new folks, Angelica and Julie, to introduce themselves. And Julie, are you having trouble with that thing again with the camera again? That seems to be a recurrent thing with your Mac. Anyway, if you can get on the phone at least, or just, you know, unmute yourself, we can have you introduce yourself. So Angelica, can you unmute yourself? There you go.
Hi. Yeah. Hi, I'm Angelica. And I just joined by way of the Transpersonal Energy Healing course, which I'm also enrolled in. And of course, Lynn helped, you know, guide me and make this choice to join. I do have a background in nutrition. I got my degree 7 years ago in dietetics, like medical nutrition therapy. But I never really applied it as like a therapist or as a coach. I'm just like looking to delve deeper and get sort of what I consider just the next level of education and something that leans more in the holistic direction that I personally believe in. So, yeah.
We're excited to have you here. And she lives in Austin, so we actually got to sign her up in person. Yay, that was so fun.
That was fun.
Great, wonderful, and thank you and welcome. We have a lot of people who have had, you know, Western training in this. Shonda's a registered nurse, and Louisa is an optometrist, and we have a few MDs, and we have a lot of nurses. And so, you know, it's like that whole shift to a new way of looking at the way things work. So it's exciting. Yay. And then we have Julie. Hi, Julie. You made it on. Let's see if I can unmute you, or you can unmute yourself. There you go.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Julie O'Connor. I just wanted to say hello. I'm just kind of popping in. This is my first call of many recently. So I'm just kind of a fly on the wall right now. I'm just getting started and brand new with Dr. Rita Marie. So great to meet all of you for sure.
Yay. Yay. And you guys are coming to the retreat, right? I know Angelica said yeah, because she's right local down the street. And Julia, hopefully you're planning to come.
Yes, I'm hoping to make it. If I can't make it all 7 days, definitely for the latter part of it for sure.
Great. Wonderful. Yay.
Yay.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. So we're going to do our cases tonight. And the people that submitted them, the order that I had them was Susan and Shonda and Claudia. And Claudia, it looked like you had 2 that were submitted. So I wanted to, I think one of them we might have gone over back in February.
That was an old one. I just submitted 1 this time.
Okay, good. Perfect. That's what I just want to verify. Perfect. All right. So we'll start with Susan's, and I have it up on the screen. Let me open it. Let me share my screen. I really love using this new form for those of you who haven't started using it. Oh my God, it just makes my life so easy, and it also is going to make it easier for me when I share it because you can see it much more out. As it speaks. So let me start with Susan was number 9, 10, 11. Yeah, no. Yeah, 9. There we go. Is this one? Yeah, this one, Susan. So can you see my screen? Yes? Everybody can see it? Okay, great. So Susan, give us a little bit of background about your person. All the stuff is here. Looks like I'll just go through the basic stuff. And I know at least Shonda had a very long extensive history section. You did a great job on that. And you're going to ask you to summarize. So he's a single guy. He's obviously underweight at 6 foot 141 pounds. No children. And he's having problems with maintaining his weight. It sounds like sleeping and low stomach acid. So I'm going to ask you guys, when somebody comes in In particular, Susan, when he said low stomach acid, was that your interpretation or did he come in and say, I have low stomach acid? Because years ago, you would never hear somebody come in and say, I have low stomach acid, because they had no idea what that meant. But with all the summits and the education around, they are, people are just like, yeah, I have low stomach acid. So I was just curious about that, Susan.
Well, I live with the person. So.
Okay.
And, you know, just over the years, we've noticed, and now we're going to order an H. pylori test because it became really apparent during the liver flush, which he had to stop on the first day of the day before the flush. He had to stop because his stomach was burning, and that's usually a telltale sign. He's had an ulcer in the past.
Okay.
So
what symptoms has he had over the years, though, from his perspective, not your clinical experience, but from his perspective over the years, has it been the burning? Has that been the main symptom that he shows?
When he was younger, burning, but reflux.
Reflux. Okay.
Yeah.
Reflux. Okay. And when was he diagnosed with an ulcer?
When he was a teenager, when he was about 16 years old. And esophageal cancer runs in his family. I think the final factor for me was when he took the first Epsom salt drink in preparation for the flush and couldn't handle having an empty stomach. He could tolerate not having much food, but he could not tolerate having an empty stomach. Okay. It was burning.
Okay. And then, so the ulcer was then, did he have surgery then? Or what did he do to heal it? Just medications, I'm assuming?
I don't think he did anything for it. I think it just went away.
Okay. All right. And then over the years, has it gradually gotten worse?
It's sort of morphed into reflux.
Okay. A years later, 10 years later, 15 years later, 5 years later, something.
He still has reflux now.
And he still does. Okay. Worse at night when he's laying down, or is it?
For sure. It's definitely better now with some dietary adjustments, but there's still a lot of work to do.
Okay. And how open is he to dietary adjustments? It's very hard working with your partner, isn't it?
Well, I sent him to an integrative doctor who he's a very unusual doctor, and he looked at John's doctor's data test. He looked at his oat test, and he put him on a low FODMAP diet. I think he was suspecting SIBO.
Yeah.
That made a big difference, and has him on glutathione infusions because clearly he's very low. B12 shots, zinc shots, magnesium, like just ramping up
his nutrition. Yeah, because clearly at 161 pounds and 6'1", he's majorly underweight. And if he's having trouble holding the weight. Now, does he have diarrhea? Is that part of his
issue? Yeah, if he doesn't stay on a low FODMAP diet, he does. Yeah.
So over the years, he's had diarrhea, which means he's losing a lot of fluids, electrolytes, et cetera. So just just to stop, and I usually do this as we're doing cases, is to stop and do the educational kind of moments, is I'm going through like a typical case history type questioning that we have in our, what is it, module 5 or 4 or something like that, module 6, I don't remember which module it is, but one of our modules that's on taking a good history. And we always want to think through like what exactly is going on, what are the symptoms, you know, what's the timing, etc. So he's had a problem with this for a long time. Back in his teens, it was likely that the ulcer was caused by excess stomach acid, because that's a time when we would expect people to be overproducing the acid. As time goes on, especially if he did do any I want to ask about that. Did he do any antacids over the years, over the counter or whatever?
Yeah, and he was put on PPIs for a while.
All right. So one of the things that happens is that even if somebody starts, you know, in their younger years and they get an ulcer as a result of low stomach acid, that as they progress, their stomach acid just naturally goes down. But if they're taking stomach acid inhibitors, right, what that does is inhibits the production of stomach acid, because we don't want the burning, or the doctors don't want the burning, but that inhibits the production of HCl in addition. So it's not just that it makes the acid go away. It also inhibits the production and it loosens the lower esophageal sphincter. So as that stomach acid goes down, this lower esophageal sphincter, which is the connection between esophagus and stomach, gets looser. And then what happens is stomach contents start to regurgitate up. So that's why I ask, and you'll hear me ask lots of questions, and Susan may know the answer. Mostly she will know the answer to them. But as you start to do this, you may not know the answer to them because it didn't occur to you to ask. And that's what these calls are about, is really teaching you those ways to do it. So interventions, it looks like, I see that broken collarbone. So, and a C-section at birth is usually it's an important piece of information, right? If somebody was a C-section, they did not go through the birth canal. They didn't get the normal shaping of their head. They didn't get the normal collection of mom's flora. And they likely, mom was put on antibiotics afterwards because they don't want her to get an infection. So that got in the system. But breastfeeding is another important thing to ask because it's real important when somebody has gut issues. So was he breastfed, bottle fed, combination?
Bottle fed,
yeah. And that's typical of people in our era, right? There was that whole time like, formula is the greatest thing since sliced bread. It saves mom, And we realize now that all those kids are having all sorts of hypersensitivity, autoimmune, et cetera, et cetera. So didn't get the normal flora through the birth canal, didn't get the normal flora through mom's milk, and mom was probably on antibiotics as a result of the C-section. So I know that, it doesn't necessarily get passed on, but mom's, what was I thinking there? Because I was thinking breastfeeding, maybe that doesn't have anything to do with it, but mom's flora.
Passed on the antibiotics?
If he was breastfed, for sure it would, but I think that I'm thinking in terms of the flora, right? So it kills off the gut flora, but it kills off all the flora. Right. Mm-hmm. And so babies and moms do a lot of skin to skin time. And a lot of times there's a lot of good transference of the good bacteria in mom's skin into the babies because the baby hasn't developed that yet. So baby just got pulled into the hospital room and whatever organisms were hanging out, those guys got first dibs at colonizing his skin, his intestinal tract, et cetera. So, he had a tough start, which a lot of us have. So I just think it contributes to a lot of issues that people have later. So these are the shots that you have, you could figure out. So what makes you think H. pylori when he couldn't finish the liver flush versus just low stomach acid, gastritis, et cetera?
Yeah. And I had a lengthy conversation with Isabel about it as well. And she also suspected H. pylori.
Yeah, I suspect it because of the long-term, like ulcers in the teens, right? And then the recurrence of the reflux and all that. Yeah. I would suspect it that. I was just wondering what the connection you were making was to the liver cleanse, if any.
Oh, because of the burning in the stomach on the day before the flush, after the first. I mean, John's usually the type of person that, can soldier on and follow through on something, but he absolutely couldn't. That's the first time I've ever seen him do that.
Okay. Just wondering if there's something in the liver flush, thinking in terms of what's done, it's got the malic acid to a lot of acid stuff that might actually, might have inhibited.
He didn't do malic acid. He did apple cider vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar. Same idea, because it's malic acid. It's the acid, right, that you're going at. I'm just wondering, because I know that with H. pylori, right, they will come out when the environment becomes alkaline. And some people will actually, before doing an H. pylori test, have people take some baking soda and water, mm-hmm. so that it creates an environment where they're going to come out and play. They don't like the acid, right? So that's why we end up with this low stomach acid. It's this vicious cycle. But I'm just thinking out loud, maybe, that there might have been a rebound type of thing where he was doing that malic acid in the apple cider vinegar for days, then he stopped it. And then he went on and had an empty stomach, and the rebound was, woo, it's alkaline in here now. Boom. And they all started coming out. So that's one possibility. Mm-hmm. Now, it's all conjecture at this point, but certainly testing for H. pylori is a good thing. So he has had the test done, but the results haven't come back. Is that correct?
We haven't done it yet. And I wanted to ask you about something. This is a bit of an aside, but I know that normally it's recommended to do the BioHealth antigen test. Mm-hmm. But I understand that Diagnostic Solutions has an H. pylori test with the virulence factors. I think there's 6 different virulence factors. And wanted to know your thoughts on that.
I haven't ever done it. So it might be an amazing test. I did have a conversation with the founder of that lab a few years back, David Brady, I think it is. And I was impressed with the research and all that we were doing, but I never actually got to do it. I wanted to get that available. I said, well, make it available so my practitioners can order it. And he said there were some legalities that they had at that point where they could only sell it to licensed healthcare
practitioners. Yeah. And I'm running into that now. I've been having conversations with them. So we're seeing what we can do.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's great, Lynn.
That would be great. Because a lot of the labs that have that, like, BioHealth, there's a bunch of them that have that requirement, but they allow me to sign you guys up under me.
Right.
Taking full responsibility.
That's what we're working around.
That's what I'm working on. And he, at that point, I told him that, I told him we had that arrangement with Meridian and BioHealth and a few others, but he was kind of, I think it was new. I think the lab had just opened and he didn't want to, muddy the waters too much. So it would be great. So I would say, give it a try. If you read the research on it and, the way they're doing the test is good. And I know, I trust him. He's been around forever. He's been a medicine guy forever. So give it a try. The only one I've liked so far, I've done Doctor's Data, I've done Genova, and I've done the BioHealth. And I've had people I really suspected had H. pylori, just based on the presentation, and we tested them on Genova doing the full panel, and like it showed up nothing. And we worked on what came up with the Genova, but nothing was really shifting in terms of the stomach stuff. And I said, let's just run this one and see. And we did, and it came out positive. We did a 2-month protocol. At the end of that, all our symptoms went away. We redid it. It was fine. So that's where I've gotten my bias, so to speak, my clinical bias towards BioHealth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so let's just get through, and you have anything else we need to know before we look at some of his labs? Like, what is your main question that you want to get out of this case study tonight?
Well, we ran a doctor's data test. He's his lactoferrin was elevated, which is indicating IBD.
Mm-hmm.
There were small traces of blood in the stools.
Okay. Which indicates that there's some inflammatory process going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, interestingly enough, there was on the organic acid test, which is also part of the bundle of tests that I uploaded.
Yeah.
The, for Cresol was double.
Oh.
Right. But nothing C. diff-wise showed up on the doctor's data test.
That's very common because the organic acid test is more sensitive, and that's it's a chemical endotoxin that's produced by the C. diff, but you see that before you'll actually see it cultured.
Okay.
So it's definitely more sensitive. That's why when people can afford it, I like them to do both. Most people are wanting to choose one or the other.
Yeah. There's some slight traces of yeast in there, but
before you go there, so he does not eat dairy, meat, unfermented coffee, because there was one of the cases where the person was eating gluten and soy. Okay, good. Okay. So yeah, so I'll look at the test. Don't tell me about the test. Anything else from here that we should know?
Sounds like you've vegetarian. He's vegetarian and is not great about balancing his meals and taking supplements. He's better, but I have to be on him about it.
Does he do any protein powders to supplement that?
Yeah, I have him on Sacha Inchi powder now.
Okay.
That's been about a month now.
Okay. So not very long. So just asking that because whenever I'm looking at lab tests, sometimes people will show me lab tests and they tell me what they're doing. I'm like, wait a minute, you're already doing all the things. Oh, I started that a month ago and I got the test result.
Right.
Oh, okay. So that's always
what you're going to see in these labs is before he went to the doctor, before he started getting the infusions and before the low FODMAP diet.
Okay. So this was him. Okay. So this is, that's Shonda's. Where's, I only see 3 tests.
Oh, that's his.
That's his.
Yeah.
That's his.
Yeah.
And that's his. Okay, yeah. So we don't have the lab, the Optimal DX report. We just have this.
No.
Okay, got it. So I'm going to look at this first. This is a stool test for some of you might not have seen stool tests before. And I always think this is an important column, although these tests will run sensitivities. They generally won't run sensitivities on the commensals, which if anything's in this yellow column, it means these are normal kind of inhabitants, but they're growing out of control, right? And whether it's a two, this is only a little bit out of control. These are threes, they're quite a bit out of control. And you know, when you think about a hemolytic strep, gamma alpha hemolytic strep, hemolytic means it's breaking in and making it bleed, right? And so these are bad bacteria, but as long as they're in good balance with the rest of the normal flora, they're okay. So these are issues, and I take exception to these tests not actually running the sensitivity panels on them so you know what would bring them in balance. I mean, because they do talk about yes, and you bring the other flora into balance, and that will bring those, get them out of control. But in this particular case, I mean, he's got decent levels of the normal flora. It's not so low that you go, yeah, just bring those up and these guys will get taken care of. So right. I think that we really, this needs to be addressed, especially if when we look at the OLT test, the hippuric acid is high, which is an indicator of bacterial, and then the clostridias are high. So it's probably a good idea to be addressing that. So we'll talk about that in a sec. So when I look over here, I'm always looking at balance, right? We always want to do balance. And so Bifidobacter is higher. In this case, if we suspect SIBO, that's probably okay right now. We don't want to be supplementing with lactobacillus because that can aggravate SIBO. The enterococcics and some of these others are reasonable. The lactobacillus is actually the lowest. So in many cases, I might say, well, let's just, you know, make them do probiotic foods and add some extra lactobacillus. But if you're going to be doing lactobacillus, see, this is a species, so it doesn't say specific strains. You want to, if there's any suspicion at all of SIBO, to get them on a delactate-free, right? The kind that Claire sells and that Customer Probiotics sells. Or doing, you know, having him do homemade cultured foods where you're adding extras of that so he gets the good stuff that's just on the food in general and then adds to it. No yeast is isolated. Let's see if that's consistent with his oat. And it's pretty consistent. He had arabinose a little elevated, but and like I said before, the organic acid is going to be a little more sensitive. It just doesn't tell you exactly what. That's the problem with it, right? So they're a little bit high, but they're not, this isn't showing up. This is in his stool, but nothing's showing up as pathogenic in the stool, right? Nothing really bad, but this is picking up on those toxins produced by those out of control commensals, and commensals meaning normal flora, but they're out of control because the environment is allowing them to grow out of control. So the arabinose is high. So that indicates that there is some yeast overgrowth in spite of the fact that this shows that there isn't, but it's subtle. Let's see if there, did it show rares? Yeah. Okay. So microscopic yeast is what's showing up here. No specific strains that we can do like a sensitivity on and decide this one's going to get killed by this herb, but there is definitely this. So there's a consistency here that there's some yeast going on. You said he doesn't do alcohol, or he does?
Very infrequently.
Yeah. So get him to give it up completely for a while because, you know, with the yeast growth, if there's a yeast overgrowth, they feed on the sugars. Same thing with sugars and, you know, flours. It becomes difficult when you got this underweight person you're trying to feed. How do you feed them? Right. But and how does he handle fats?
Not very well.
Not very well. Yeah. So it's really getting this absorption and done. But here you said red blood cells. Yep. Red blood cells. Mm-hmm. You know, no over parasites, fortunately, a few red blood cells and some moderate yeast. So that would need to be addressed. No bad stuff like Giardia, Cryptosporidium, that's good. Actually, all the functional markers, except for down here in the inflammation, these are all pretty right. There's no fat finding in there. Does he eat any fat? I mean, everybody eats some fat, but I'm just wondering if he were to be eating a higher fat diet, would we see some fat floating around in there?
Yeah, I don't, I'm trying to get him to eat more fats. And, you know, we're working on it.
Yeah, well, if he doesn't tolerate it well and he gets abdominal cramping or liver pain or anything like that, then of course he's not going to want to do it.
Yeah.
So might look at, because he is so underweight, he might look at MCT oil as an option. Okay. But go very, very slowly, because if you start out with too much MCT oil, it can cause diarrhea. So I would start with like an eighth of a teaspoon. Get him used to that, add a quarter of a teaspoon, and just get him used to that. And the reason I say MCT, because if somebody does have some low liver function and they're not producing enough bile, the gallbladder might be stagnant, whatever, you're going to get an issue where you, whenever you eat fat, you don't do it well. But MCT is a particular form, medium chain triglycerides, where they are already kind of emulsified, right? It's not really emulsified, but it's a form that goes right in through the walls into little organelles called the chylomicrons. So that could be a good way to do it with somebody who is underweight and you're trying to get some extra calories in. They don't tolerate carbohydrates real well. They don't tolerate fats real well. What the heck are you going to do with this poor person, right? So sometimes the MCT can be helpful, or whole coconut oil, which is like, you know, depending on where you read, it could be about 20% MCT, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20% MCT. So you could try both of those and see how he does with that. Or maybe start with coconut with a little extra MCT added, just to get some calories into him and some nutrition into him. But go, you know, go easy, because it's saturated and it may be causing an issue. But these are the bad ones that we look for, like calprotectin and lysozyme. We usually see those really high in somebody with like Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. So in this case, you know, it's not that, and it's slightly elevated lactoferrin, right? So it could be more irritable bowel. It could be just an inflammatory condition going on there, just like a leaky gut, basically. The gut's inflamed. Secretory IgA is in a decent range.
Yeah.
A lot of times when there's an overgrowth, we see like super low levels, and then we have to work at getting those up so the body can even protect itself. That's looking good. His core chains are looking really good. Mm-hmm. Down here, right? And the few red blood cells. So I think overall, I think really just working on healing that lining and identifying if there is indeed an H. pylori. I'm going to ask you one question about his blood labs. Did he have any alterations of the neutrophils and lymphocyte ratios?
I'm going to have to check that.
Because sometimes we see that, or monocytes.
I don't remember anything showing up, because I probably would have included that if it had.
All right. So, it seems like it's just this really localized inflamed, but not like, not Crohn's type of inflamed, but aggravated, irritated gut lining that needs to be soothed. Does he tolerate the mucilaginous type things like slippery elm, marshmallow, plantain, etc.?
He's not crazy about it, but
does he like it? Let's just get real.
Slippery elm capsules.
Yeah, it's just not much in there.
I know.
And you don't soak it first and, you know, activate
it. He won't do it.
Ever ask him like which is worse, having this double over pain or the 30 seconds on your tongue or this bad taste? Right, seriously, I don't mean, and it's hard to do that with your own partner, but I think that's something we really need to start to get real with people. It's like, oh, wow, so you've been doubling over and you're having 2 or 3 hours of pain every day and blah, 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 but you don't like the taste of this, but it's, you know, 30 seconds to a couple of minutes of displeasure of this stuff in your mouth and going down versus hours. Are you willing to at least try?
I'll reapproach him with it, but he will do aloe.
Okay. All right. Make sure it's a good aloe though, because a lot of the aloes there, you know, it's just somebody gelled it and the active ingredients are gone within a couple of days. All right. D-mannose, I think, is, you know, extracted from the aloe, and that's a possibility as well.
Okay.
I don't think Slippery Elm is, I personally don't think Slippery Elm is capsules is going to do much good. Mm. Just because you need, it's the mucilage and the slow, how it goes down nice and slow and it coats and it lines and all that.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So that's that. Let's just look here. So nothing terrible on here, but just, you know, confirming that there's some bacterial and, but there is this, there's that particular strain. Let me think of it as, is it Sporogenes? It's in the particular supplement. Okay. Lynn, help me here. There's a particular supplement that's been shown, a probiotic that works with well with the Clostridia, and it's a particular strain, and I think it might be Lactobacillus sporogenes. We'll have to look it up. I'll think of the name of it in a moment. Whenever you do whenever I used to do the consults with the company here, they would always talk about that particular supplement. Okay, so he's got a high oxalate level.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, oxalates and leaky gut are like the chicken and the egg, right? So if you have high levels of oxalates and you're sensitive to them, it can aggravate the lining of the gut. But if you have a leaky gut, then they're going to get into the bloodstream, right? So excess oxalates in the food, if you're not binding them, you know, if you don't have a good elimination at whatever. But a lot of times it's really the leaky gut that causes it. So, you know, genetically, I would look, if you have genes on them, look to see if he has the oxalate sensitivity tendency in his genes. But so you got to be careful here with what you're giving him, right, in terms of greens, and be careful of spinach and rhubarb, and most people don't eat that, but, you know, Swiss chard and that sort of stuff. Dinosaur kale versus the curly kale, that sort of stuff. He was a little off in his glycolysis. Let me look at his Krebs cycle. Yeah, so typically, I don't know if they still give the picture in the back. I like to look at the citric acid cycle. Well, they don't give it anymore. Which we have in module 2, the cellular metabolism. And what I like to do, because I don't memorize pathways, particularly all the little cofactors, but you're looking at if succinate is high and citrate is high, that's usually that it's not going to the next step. And actually, if we look real quick, I think I can just bring this up real quick on, so maybe particular B vitamins and particular amino acids. And you're saying low stomach acid, so we know he's not picking up the amino acids. So you started him on the protein powder, which is good. The other thing you can do is, if he's willing, but if he's not willing, because they taste gross, is amino acid supplementation, like the 22 amino acids that really are good for helping to rebuild the gut lining.
Oh, yeah. I've got him on marine collagen.
Yeah. Okay.
And that has amino acids in it.
That has. Marine collagen is what? Tell me what that is. I don't know what that, who
makes it? It's collagen from seaweed sources. Ooh. It's made from Vital. Comes in a powder form.
I didn't know that. I know marine collagen. Okay, good. The other, there's a couple of new ones that just came out. One is Glow. It's a protein powder. So it's got a lot of protein. It's got about 13 grams of protein per serving, plus it's got the collagen nutrients, and Sun Warrior is about to come out, but marine.
Oh.
Yeah. So this kind of support is good for him. So if we go to module 2, which is cellular metabolism. I have a set of charts in here, which I highly recommend everybody print out these charts, because they just are really good refers, especially when you're looking at, you know, lab tests like this, where you're looking at Krebs cycle. So if we look here, all right, so he's high in citrate, citric. So this is high. So now this isn't showing me the full cycle. Let me show another one. There we go. So citrate comes from malate, which requires B3 and oxaloacetate. Ooh, interesting. Aspartame. And then what was the other one? Citrate and succinate? I forget.
Yep.
Succinate. So magnesium is important to take, to go from alpha-ketoglutarate to succinate, plus the B vitamins. So really making sure that he's on a good liquid B vitamin, because you don't want him on capsules as much as possible with the low stomach acid and the impaired digestion. You know, and again, amino acids. So the more you can get him on a full spectrum amino acid supplement with the magnesium, with all the B vitamins, and actually lipoic acid. Those could be helpful in getting him more energy. And you need more cellular energy, not just energy to, you know, be in the world, but he needs more cellular energy to repair the gut lining. It's a very energetic process, energy-driven, necessary process. And I think that's what, you know, I would just go moderate. I wouldn't go on crazy and put him on a super low oxalate diet, because then you're limiting his food intake more and you don't want to do that. But I would also just make sure he's not doing the super high oxalates.
Right.
And there's a little bit of imbalance here in the neurotransmitters. I mean, it's not terrible, but related to dopamine and tryptophan, so serotonin.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have problems with depression, anxiety, OCD?
Depression runs in the family. And I would say sometimes they'll have swings that it lean towards depression. And sometimes mild OCD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, push towards thinking about serotonin more than dopamine. So I would say, you know, given the B vitamins, right, all the B vitamins are necessary for the Krebs cycle, especially B6 is important for both of these pathways, and the amino acids. So we already talked about that, like making sure he has enough of his good amino acids and he's got enough of his B vitamins is going to be super important, right? And then the gut healing. And the collagen's good. Maybe look at some others and add some of that to the mix. Ketones. I don't get upset about ketones being elevated anymore if he's on a low carb diet. But if he's not on a low carb diet, then there may be some imbalance going on here. But he's not on a high fat, or is, you know, so he does have some ketones. Fatty acid oxidation is the ethyl malonate, which means, you know, the glutathione is really good that you've got him on the glutathione. You said you got him on B vitamin IVs.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's going to really help. B12, methylmalonic.
Yep.
Yep. So B12 is important here. And the glutathione. So you're already addressing those. We got bacteria. We get that. And the rest of these are. Yeah. So those are the major ones that are standing out. Amino acids and the B vitamins, and the glutathione.
Right.
And then in terms of killing off the stuff, I would wait on just trying to get something serious to kill it off. We don't have the pathogens. We have low levels. I would just try to get some balance going on and some healing going on. And then you can recheck and see if it's under control.
Okay.
Probiotics, you know, staying on the D-lactic free, the bifidobacter, keeping those levels high or good. Bifidobacter, high levels of bifidobacter will help to feed oxalobacter. Oxalobacter then eats oxalates.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting because that's exactly how the doctor viewed it as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yay. That's great. You found a good doctor.
Oh, he's amazing. He does biopuncture. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard of it. Well, tell, remind me what it is.
So he's Russian, right? And he trained with a sixth generation Vietnamese acupuncturist in Russia on biopuncture. And he'll go into the way that he tests your meridian lines is very different from anything I've ever experienced. So he'll have one hand on the pulse and another hand with a magnet, and he'll go through the meridian lines and he can feel fluctuations in the pulse and find where the energy is. It's fantastic.
I love that.
And then he marks it, and then he goes in with basically a needle with NAD in it, NAD.
Mm.
And he'll go into the ligaments in it with it. It's incredible.
Wow. Wow. You found a good doctor. So I think he's got good hands. You can work with him on the diet specifically. You know, and I would say making sure that he gets the right proteins, and sounds like he's getting the B vitamins, but once he weans off of the IVs that you're have him on a good liquid. Is this yours?
Yes.
Yeah. His cortisol in the morning is off the charts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he not sleeping?
He's not sleeping.
So he's heading towards adrenal burnout. But you know what? What happens with cortisol? What does cortisol do to the digestive tract?
It stresses the digestive tract.
It turns off what? Enzymes? Hydrochloric acid?
Yeah, it turns off everything. The gut's a bundle of nerves.
Does he do yoga or meditate with you as his wife?
Well, he's got the Muse. Good. Right? He's getting more body work done now, which is good. He walks a lot. But when you meet him, he appears to be a super calm person. Everything is internalized.
Yeah. A lot of that could be physiologic stress as well. I mean, if you know him, so you know that he might be holding in on what he's stressed about or what he's overwhelmed about. But also physiologic stress can create that. You know, having imbalances in the gut like that.
Right? That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything else looks decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got his progesterone down. Do you remember that when we found
Was he the one that had the, yeah.
Yeah.
And what did you do to get that down?
Well, we got him off the head and shoulders.
That was it. Holy cow.
Yeah. I have you to thank for that. I've been trying to get him off of it for years.
Wow. That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Can you say that again? The head and shoulders?
Yeah, go ahead and tell her about that.
I haven't heard this. This is Julie.
He had a high progesterone on a saliva test, and I presented the test on a case study call, and Dr. Rita Marie pulled up the pathways on the Dutch test. And we located where the progesterone kind of got blocked into producing cortisol. And one of the components that created that blockage, I forget what it was called, Dr. Rita Marie.
I'd have to pull the pathway up. But this is the beauty of living, really looking at your pathways and going, oh, okay. Like nobody ever wrote a scientific paper on head and shoulders creating progesterone in men. And
wow. I had never heard that. That's really interesting.
Well, then she started asking whether he had skin rashes or dry skin. And I said, is he on any antifungals? And I said, yeah, he uses head and shoulders. And I checked the label and it had that particular compound in it. And that was it.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So this is why we go so into learning your pathways and looking at your pathways, because we found some unusual things. I think Isabel had a case once where we found and we went, does she have some liver stress? Oh yeah, she has fatty liver. Oh, okay. That's why she had some weird presentation on Dutch. I think it was a 5-beta DHT elevation or something. And, so just when you know these things, and we found the melatonin thing, the connection when we just started digging, because we had somebody who had high iron but low ferritin. I'm like, what the heck? So we started looking at pathways and went, oh, melatonin. She goes, oh, I have low melatonin. I've been having trouble sleeping and I just got a test that confirmed that I do. And then she started addressing the melatonin issue and her numbers started to balance out. So, it may seem like it's, we're going too much into the science or geeking out, but I think it's so important because most doctors aren't looking at that. They're not going to tear it apart and scratch their head and go, huh, that's unusual. Why? Why? So awesome. Yeah. So working on, I would say, look at what's happening in the evening, what's happening overnight. Does he have any particular, sometimes people have memories of, and it's into their nervous system of, dad coming home drunk in the middle of the night and beating up mom. And they were scared in the middle of the night and it caused their their cortisols should go crazy and rise. So, you know, you may want to gently kind of ask him if there's any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's doing the Muse, I would make sure he's doing it before he goes to bed.
Yeah.
Okay. You could do it both times, but I would definitely make sure he's doing that or heart math or some yoga or something before going to bed to like calm his nervous system down.
Right? Okay.
And you might consider, you know, magnolia or phosphatidyl serine. Try that first, but you might consider magnolia or phosphatidyl serine for a while at bedtime. Did you wake up in the middle of the night?
Yep.
Okay, so not at bedtime when he wakes up in the middle of the night. Well, no, do it at bedtime because I bet that's what's happening. His cortisol is going high in the middle of the night because clearly high in the morning, right? So maybe some of that at bedtime and then work on the root cause, which might be some other, you know, emotional imprint that mm-hmm. happened, trauma that happened.
Yeah, there's a new component to the test that is called the insomnia collection.
That you take it in the middle of the night.
Yeah, so he did the insomnia collection and it was high.
And it was high, yeah. So I would look at things to calm him down at bedtime, the Muse, heart math. But, you know, give it a try with either magnolia or magnolia's going to be more gentle. If you can get that in a form that he can take. I don't know if you can get it in tea, but I know tincture might be aggravating with the alcohol to his gut.
I can get him a non-alcohol tincture.
You can try it.
Okay.
Try it. Yeah. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So next, they always take longer than I think because I like to spend a lot of time with them, but... Okay, Shonda.
Yeah.
All right.
Should I give you the Cliff Note version?
Give us the Cliff Note because I started looking at this and I was like, where was that section where you had it in there?
At the top. Oh.
No, wait. Am I looking at Claudia's, not yours? Sorry. I'm like, no, that's not it. This. And I'm like, oh, yes, the registered nurse knows her case study presentation. Mm-hmm.
I actually sat with her while I typed this out. We sort of went through everything. So this is actually I'm going to cry.
Okay, go for it. Is your sister or is it your niece?
It's my sister.
Your sister, okay.
And I never realized what all she'd been through until we really put it down on paper because this is a woman that is an extremely high achiever.
Mm.
And she just does. So the Cliff Note version is, as a teenager, she actually had a tick bite. They did a Lyme test back then. And of course, Lyme tests are not great. And it came back negative. Eventually, and she doesn't remember exactly what the time frame was between the tick bite and when she woke up one day and was swollen and rash and joints. They were testing her for rheumatoid arthritis and all this stuff. And of course, all of that came back negative.
Yeah.
So she's been through sort of the typical, I mean, if you read it, Dr. Rita Marie, she's been through the typical Lyme, chronic Lyme, right? Every time there's a big stressor, she has a flare up and gets really bad. So when I was living in Grand Prairie at the time, she woke up one day and I think I was even over. She had come out of the shower and she started screaming upstairs. She had swollen up like she was in congestive heart failure, like all over. Of course, we had real huge struggle getting physicians to take her seriously. Yep. I worked at the hospital at the time. When she went into the ER, I said, you call me when you're there. I'm going to be in the room. I'm a very strong patient advocate for my family. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at this doctor. Don't you just dare tell my sister this is stress. Because that's what he'd been telling her. And anyways, they put her on Lasix, which is the worst drug for all the swelling when you have Hashimoto's thyroiditis that bad, which is what it ended up being. And kept telling her it was stress because she was trying to manage things on her own. When she was sent to an endocrinologist, he told her it was all in her head. There was nothing wrong. She finally got copies of her blood. Like we fought and fought. So the added stress to all of this.
Yeah.
Right?
On top of it, she's like sick and then doesn't get heard or seen.
You know, I'm fighting for her. I'm calling doctor's offices that are refusing to give her copies of her lab work and I'm threatening to report them so that they get the $30,000 fine for not giving us copies of our blood work, right?
Good for you.
She had to fly to another city to see an endocrinologist who immediately, when she sat down, looked at her blood work. Of course, you've got Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Your antibodies are through the roof. You're right.
This is such a simple diagnosis, right? It doesn't take... You could give this to a kindergartner and say, if you see this number bigger than this, it means this. And they would diagnose Hashimoto's. It's like simple. Yeah.
This is a man that went to our church. And if I could get in the same room with him, I'd strangle him right now. I wasn't there at the time. But anyways, so lots of stress around health and, having babies, things get worse, right? All of those big stressors. This is a very high achieving family that has to do things crazy like, in the midst of, and she's got lots of hormone imbalances as well in all of this. A few years ago, I think it's 5 years now, she, had an ultrasound for her sort of, menstrual issues, and they, thank goodness, found a kidney tumor.
Benign, what?
Malignant, genetically tied kidney tumor. So she had her kidney out, and then get this, because this is my sister's family, a week later or 2 weeks later, moved to another city, started a new job in a new career where they treated her like garbage, and a year later ended up going on stress leave, which I had been pushing for a long time.
Yeah.
Because she just was crashing. It's interesting when we do surgeries now that are laparoscopic that the perception of people, because you physically don't have big incisions, that it's over quickly and you should be recovered and you should just carry on with life.
Life 2 days later, yeah.
Right? And then a few years ago, she did do the good Lyme test and it came back positive for Lyme, which explains all of this nonsense. She's gone.
And so, you know, stress clearly is a contributing factor and would make it worse, you know, and, you know, her lack of healing, but to just write it off. I'm a big proponent of stress induced illness is huge, right? But we don't write people off and say, no, stress creates real illness.
Real illness. She's in a very, very stressful job right now. Incredibly stressful. They took 3 weeks off last year, went to Europe. And remarkably, she felt better.
Well, I wonder why. Yeah.
Remarkably. And, but she also has met a naturopath that's, I don't know how many hours away, that they get this biophoton light therapy from.
Yeah. I remember you mentioned it. Susan's daughter also have it. And I thought you brought your niece to a
conference. This is her daughter that we brought to last time. Okay. So, Leanne, a few years ago, went to Hippocrates for 3 weeks and did just the whole beautiful 3 weeks at Hippocrates, came back and did a year of raw vegan. But now that helped some, but her real big struggles are, I'm trying to remember what I put down for her,
put down weight, insomnia, and fatigue, and inflammation, inability to lose weight.
Yeah. We put down 180 pounds. She doesn't weigh herself. It's a trigger for her, so she doesn't weigh herself. But she retains a lot of fluid. Her inflammatory markers are always elevated. Insomnia is debilitating at points. And the woman goes to Hippocrates for 3 weeks and maybe lost a few pounds of fluid, but really, and even after a year of raw vegan, didn't touch her weight. Now, stress, I know stress is a huge piece of this, and we've really talked about this, about her going and doing deep breathing. Go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom every hour if you have to at work. Nobody's going to follow you to the bathroom and go do some stress management. She is a type A personality, worries a lot, right? Like just, to me, is strung very tight all the time. And of course, everything has to look like a magazine and she entertains.
The perfectionist thing. She's probably got some serotonin imbalances, right? Yeah. Just to be that perfectionist. That's what we see. If you see somebody's like that ultra perfectionist and everything has to be just so in its place, I start to think serotonin, which is B6 and magnesium and, you know, tryptophan and all that kind of stuff. But here's the things that stood out for me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So dairy and gluten free. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it was Claudia's person that was still doing, I knew one of them was like, what? So she is dairy and gluten free. She's doing, low sugar and all that. Is that
she true? Has no blood. She's the only client I've ever had in the 5 years I've been doing this that doesn't have a blood sugar issue.
Wow.
And she's not emotionally tied to food. If she needs to do something,
she needs to do something, she will. She's eating vegetables. She's drinking greens. She still drinks alcohol more than she should. Okay. And that's a stressor. So that's something. I had a group over here one time at one of our potlucks and she was like, but I don't want to have to give up my wine. My husband and I, we sit and we have a, and I pulled out a Kavita, this and a Kavita that's pink, you know, whatever, low glycemic ones with only 1 gram of sugar. And I just gave them wine glasses for them and I gave them and I said, just sit there with each other for a little bit and see how that feels. And she goes, we can do it. And now she's off of it. And you know, cause it's a tough one. Like it's the relaxed thing, right?
I think for her, what it is, she went so hardcore for so long and didn't get results.
Didn't get the results. Yeah.
That if it, like, and I get it. You're just like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, I see. But you know, it's a cumulative stress, right? Yeah. And so what really needs to happen is she needs to address the emotional stress, the work stress, the internal drive to do that. So I'm almost wondering if you haven't considered looking at some of the serotonin managing. I'm just assuming, give her this, do the neurotransmitter, you know, the step-by-step or do the edge effect one. And see where it is, but my guess is that there's some serotonin imbalance.
I'm sure there is.
If you can maybe take the edge off some of that.
Okay. Yeah.
That could be helpful, right? So, you know, protocols for that could be helpful. She's drinking tap water. What's the story with that?
So, you know, finances are an issue here. This is a family that moved 3 years ago and still has a house that hasn't sold. Husband was laid off, didn't get a severance.
She's working like crazy.
Oh yeah. Like she's the more of the breadwinner. Craig is going through a career change and figuring that out. So lots of stress around that. And both of us are like, we want to get a Berkey, but you know.
Yeah. But there's also alternatives, right? You can go, I mean, for a couple $100, you can get a tabletop reverse osmosis. I don't know how much Berkeys are, but I know that there's some really inexpensive ones, but also just going to the store and getting the big jugs and filling them up.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's
true. Because the tap water, you know, every little stress, when you've got Hashimoto's and she's got Lyme, so she's got immune system stress, every little thing that adds to it, it's like this bucket, right? And it just gets up there and that one little thing throws her over the edge. So that and the caffeine, the daily caffeine.
Oh yeah, but she we've had that talk.
Yeah. And that is the line.
You bring it up because I'm taking all of this to her, so.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the thing. I forgot to turn on that what do you call it? I got this new software called Otter. I'm gonna turn it on now. We'll only get part of it, but where you can actually get it to transcribe as you're speaking.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm gonna turn it on. I'm gonna say new, start recording. And it goes right to Zoom and it tells you what it is. And there you go. So it's kind of cool. And so it's computer generated, but it's immediate. So I can immediately finish this and I can put the link to this in the chat to anybody wants it. And then you can watch, you can read through it, glance through it and go, oh yeah, that's what we were saying. And then if you don't understand, you hit the button and it will
tell
you what it says.
Cool.
But yeah, so every little additive thing, like on something like this, you know, she wants to reduce the stressors, but she only wants to reduce some of them. And with Lyme and Hashimoto's, right? And this high stress thing and probably a serotonin imbalance, it's all adding to the bucket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So you did submit some tests. What are your particular specific questions? So I make sure I address them.
So I think that the biggest things with her is the sleep and an inflammation, because she's done so much, like she ate anti-inflammatory so hardcore for so long that, and I, you know, have to remember we're in Canada and they don't do great.
DHEA is illegal. You can get arrested for smuggling across the border.
Yeah. So, I do the best I can with the labs that they will do. They will only draw a TSH. They won't draw anything else. And the other is weight, like anything that stands out that would help her lose some of the weight. She's so discouraged. I mean, she's had a weight issue basically since she had kids, and it doesn't matter what she does. And sleep. She is trying for a few nights a PEMF.
Mm-hmm. Magnetic frequency.
Yeah, under her mattress. And after two nights, it seems to be making a difference.
Yeah, so you may want to look into, I've been posting it too. We had a recent ACR call with Dr. Otis, and he talked about the sound therapy stuff that he does 5 minutes twice a day with retraining the brain. And actually, I think Heike, were you the one that did it? You tried it? Open up your line and just tell us your experience with that, because he quoted you. He said you had such great experience.
It was truly crazy, because I've been insomniac since I've had children, right? And when I listened to his presentation, I just signed up immediately the same night, and I said, I'm going to try that. And first I thought, this is ridiculous, because it does make these little ding, 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 ding sounds, you know? And I thought, what's that supposed to do? And I went to bed, and usually I wake up every 3 to 4 hours, and sometimes I'm up for an hour, 2, 3 hours, depending. And I slept for 5 hours, and I had the wildest dreams, because usually, I'm sure I dream, but I don't remember having remembered any dreams in a long, long time. And so I just kept dreaming. It was amazing. To this day, I'm using it twice a day. I'm just going to absolutely do this as I'm brushing my teeth. I'm just including this in my life, because I'm sleeping. When I'm up, which is much less now, the time is shorter, I'm at utter peace, because I used to become anxious, you know, work myself into a frenzy because I couldn't fall asleep. And now I'm like, oh, I'm up. And then somehow I just drift off again, but I'm totally at peace.
Well, you throw in a link down there, because I haven't slept in 20 years. So
when that's like, I'll write it down.
You guys have to start reading our weekly newsletters.
I'm trying. I'm back working again. So
we'll put it in there, and definitely worth a listen if you get a chance to listen.
I'm completely hooked.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, Lynn will put the link in there. And you can sign up. And if you like it a lot, you can sign up as a partner and then refer it to your clients.
Oh, awesome.
Okay. So, yeah. And he gives you like, I don't know, 20 or 30% or something.
Cool. So in her most current blood work, nothing really stood out. Of course, thyroid's going to stand out because she's got a thyroid condition. I didn't really see anything that stood out huge. She's done quite a few rounds of parasite cleanses.
Yeah.
And she just did the SCRAM.
Yeah.
One recently. Of course, it made her feel like garbage for a while. But
she was eliminating during, like, that's what really does it if you're not either doing enemas or taking something or having 2 to 3 bowel movements a day. All the toxins.
Yeah.
All that stuff we saw on Susan's husband's labs, the creosote, the heparate, and all the other stuff. Those things just keep recycling.
Yeah.
And killed off. You know, her blood sugar looks like it used to be a little higher. Now it's fine. Hemoglobin A1C is perfect. Like, really? Fasting insulin is a little on the high side, actually. I like to see it 3 or less. I'm just really picky about it. So may or may not mean anything. It may just be her norm, but it's just, you know, but given that the 5s and, you know, it's been pretty normal throughout, it probably is fine. Bun is fine. Her EGFR is a little bit low.
Yeah, because she's only got one kidney.
Right, she only got one kidney. Okay, that makes sense. Right, totally. Carbon dioxide, so she's a little on the acidic side, and that could be the coffee. Mm-hmm. She's her uric acid is a little high. Actually, I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm looking at, her protein's really low. Her anion gap, yeah, that's the difference. Protein is low. So I'd be looking at stomach acid. I'd be looking at what's going on in there. Does she do any bitters before meals? You can try to get her to do some bitters. You think she'd do?
Give that a try.
You know, and zinc, I would think zinc, if she's not supplementing zinc, to make sure that she's getting zinc and plenty of it. So the protein.
Now they're really cautious about how much protein she's taking
in because of it. Yeah. That's why free-form amino acids and protein powder, but not large amounts. Like, really be careful about the heavy nitrogen load. But you still have to get enough, right? So it's like this whole thing with iodine. We try not to give people too much of something, but we do it at the cost of not giving them enough. So, oh yeah, take iodine out. It's a bad nutrient. Well, no, it's not a bad nutrient, right? It's in excess. It's not good. So same thing with protein. She's clearly doesn't have enough. So how, that could affect the weight. That could affect it. Has she ever tried, kind of a ketosis type of?
Well, I did, when she really wanted to do what Hippocrates suggested, and then she got to a point, okay, now I'm ready to, because you can only handle so much change and stuff when you're not feel well. So we did try that for a while, and I think she started to lose weight sort of in the first few weeks, but then of course it stopped.
Mm-hmm. Did she do it more like the way it's taught typically, or more of the plant-based food?
Oh no, not with me in her life.
Okay, good. Suddenly she's eating bacon and
meat. No. She's no interest in eating tons of meat anyways.
Okay.
It was more of adding the good fats and making sure what she was eating was low carb. So
people who said they had been trying for years, and they did the 5-day keto challenge and somebody just wrote to me, I dropped 8 pounds. Are you going to do that again? I'm like, why do I have to do it again? Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it, you know? Calcium, magnesium. Yeah. Magnesium's low. So
she's on magnesium now.
Okay. A liquid kind?
No.
Now, with somebody who you suspect the low protein, which maybe it's low stomach acid, right? It's usually not intake. It's usually assimilation, right? So I would think low mineral assimilation as well. So do them all in liquids.
Okay.
The liquid, the ionized or ionic, pico, whatever. All right. Yeah. So electrolytes are definitely off. Oftentimes, nobody ever picks up on this, but sometimes, so when ALT is low, it's B6. Mm-hmm. So I would be looking at B6. And did we say she had high uric acid? Yes, I think she did. B6 is required to neutralize uric acid. And it can be related to the kidney, but it's going to help the kidneys to be able to deal with the uric acid and, get rid of it. Get rid of it instead of building it up in the blood. Mm-hmm. Bilirubin's okay. Ferritin is 80. It's a little on the high side. Let's look at our iron. Do we have, well, you did it in Canada, so maybe not. You don't usually do iron. And it's.
Yeah, they did. Because
it was. I'm looking at the wrong column. I'm looking at the, wait a minute. Let me make sure I'm looking at the right column. I'm not looking at the
right column. Couple years ago.
Yeah. So that was a couple of years ago, and that could be inflammation. And, she was clearly highly inflamed.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the stuff. So I'm looking here because these are most complete. I keep forgetting that there's some stuff out here.
Yeah.
Ferritin. So her TSH, is she on any thyroid medication?
Yeah. She takes, Descathyroid, I think is what.
Yeah.
What she's on.
Her free T4 is low in spite of it. And so is her free T3.
Well, they were playing with her medication, and they wanted her off of it, and then she went off of it, and her blood work got worse, and so.
How high were these numbers when they originally found it?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Okay. The thyroid globulin we usually see down in the, even 2 or 3 is considered high. Her TPO is actually normal now.
Yeah.
Thyroid globulin is high, CRP. Some of the stuff is, I'm glad you put all the different dates in so we can compare, but, her hemoglobin. So her ferritin, we don't know if it's high, but I'm going to suspect it's still high because we see in her iron high because we're seeing a 14.9 up here. MCV is on the high side, which is B12 or folate, most likely B12, right? So I would be looking at that. Do you know if she's a, do you have any genetics on her? Do you know what's going on there wise?
Nope.
So just go easy with, and if you're going to do methyl B12, make sure you go slow.
Okay.
There's some there has definitely been chronically, I think, some bacterial action here, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it could be H. pylori, like we were just talking about with Susan. It could be a gut inflammation, you know, gut. And you're saying that she's, that money's an issue, so she may not want to spring for a bunch of tests. But you could just, you know, assume that there's some bacterial stuff going on. She's got the immune system stuff. She's got the spirochetes, right? She have co-infections along with that. Did they identify?
Oh, well, not that they've identified, but I mean, everything's a hit. She just had a tooth pull and hasn't, I mean, that's been the biggest hit lately. She just had a big flare up and it's not going away. And
is she do? What does she do in terms of immune support? Is she on specific stuff, a Lyme protocol for the?
No.
Do you have Booner, Stephen Booner's book? I have it here.
It's
a good Lyme book. I love his herbal antibiotics, his herbal antivirals, and his Lyme. And he has some really good approaches because it's all the herbs. And he really goes through very scientifically what herbs have been found to be helpful for which infections, which particular ones. So I think it would be good reading for you to kind of investigate that and see if you can come up with a good kind of herbal concoction that's inexpensive without having to do the super expensive tests. You know, I'm a fan of tests to confirm things, but we don't always have to do tests. And people feel like, oh my God, I can't do the tests because I can't afford it or whatever. We don't have to. But when we understand how things are working and we can really look at it, we can come up with things. It may be a little more trial and error that way, but you know, tinctures are really inexpensive.
Yeah.
Uses some interesting cryptolepsis and things like that that are not your normal, like just take some golden seal and echinacea and everything will be fine. You know what I mean? Like he's really thought it out and laid it out in a very scientific way. So I'd highly recommend.
I did buy a book on Lyme and I can't remember who wrote it. And I didn't read it. I just gave it to her and she's reading it.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I'll see if it's this one and then I'll make sure I get it.
Yeah. They're just good to have on your shelf. The antiviral, antibacterial. I reference them all the time.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So I would look at that and I would look at really designing an antimicrobial and an immune supportive protocol, not just one or the other. Right. Okay.
Is this something that she would take really long term because she has Lyme, or do you play it by symptom?
You play it by ear. I mean, if you read what's his name that wrote the book, why am I not getting better or something? Let me see. I like his approach in a sense, but he's very medical. So he does he kind of does the antibiotics first. And then if they don't work, he does the herbal stuff rather than switching it around. And he also quotes in there, I have it on Audible. Let me see if I can find it. Horowitz is his name. And he has a really good, very comprehensive book that goes through a lot of the stuff he talks about. Like it's like, and we give this antibiotic and we give this antibiotic. Blah, blah, blah. But then he talks in the later chapters about the approach being, oh, he studied there's this guy out in Washington, which is not too far away from you, that does a protocol. And I always forget his name, but he has like a homeopathic type protocol. And he's had really good results. He was a speaker on one of the Lyme summits. So it's Horowitz and it's
Dr. Klinghart.
Klinghart's another one to look at. Yeah. Klinghart has a lot of the more energetic stuff. And if you find somebody who's been trained in Klinghart's approach, they do work a lot with Lyme as well. And I've heard a lot of people, actually I had one patient who was getting really great results, found a doctor who was doing this bioenergetic type approach to her Lyme and it finally got under control. Yeah, she was doing diet. Yeah, she was doing herbs, but she couldn't do much in the way of herbs because she had so many sensitivities. So yeah, Horowitz, why am I still sick and why can't it get better or something like that? Just look up Horowitz. You'll find it. Horowitz and Lyme. So I think you can might find some good stuff in there as well to try to help her. But she needs immune support. She needs antibacterial stuff. She needs some of the stuff that's been shown to help with Lyme. It's always this like rotational thing is what I got from reading it. It's like you rotate this in and that out. And if you can find, I don't know, you know how it is in Canada to find somebody, a Klinghart trained or somebody who does that kind of work can be helpful as well.
Not probably not where we live, but... We'll see. We'll try.
Yeah. Where's the monocytes? The monocytes are a little elevated. They were more elevated. It looks like there's some improvement going on here with that. Mm-hmm. Definitely improvement going on here with the neutrophils.
Mm-hmm.
They've just come down, way down. The white blood cells are, you know, they're a little. No, they're fine. Why does he say 7.3? That he's got a really narrow range because I usually say up to 10 is okay on white blood cells. But it's heading up. But I think it may be just more of an immune response. You have to differentiate between active immune response that we're activating those white blood cells to get some response from them versus it's way over the top, like in an infection or leukemia or something. Yeah. But yeah, as far as the way, I would see if she can get a ketone meter.
Okay.
Has she done any intermittent fasting?
She really struggles with that. In fact, it took her a long time. I really tried to get her to do a fast, and I think she can't go, like I do 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
And I think she wasn't quite able to go that long. She did it for a while, but I don't think... She was praising me on Facebook. My sister convinced me I could do this, and I could.
And I could. Well, have her just do it twice a week to start.
Yeah.
Right? And it doesn't have to be all the way to 20 or 24, just do 16 hours.
Okay.
And she can get consistently in that mode. She's going to get her ketone levels up and her glucose down, and it doesn't look like her glucose is too high, but if she could get that ratio between ketones and glucose, so if you take the standard international units for, which is what they typically measure in Canada, the standard international units for glucose, and you divide that into ketones. So say your ketones are 3, and your glucose is 5. 5 is probably around 90 or 100 or somewhere in that range. Then it's below 1. It's above 1. So I'll give you a link to a thing on the Keto Mojo site. You get a ratio, and
didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. I'm going to look that one up. Real quick, and you.
If anybody on the call would love to have one shipped to you and then ship it to us, because they will not ship to Canada.
They won't ship to Canada. Oh Lord, who lives close? You know.
Oh wait a minute, I have friends.
Yeah, friends. Yeah, you have friends in Washington, Oregon. Yeah. Just have them ship it to you. We'll visit them.
I don't know what I'm thinking. I used to live in the States. Yeah, friends everywhere.
That's right, Keto Mojo. They have an index. Oh, I have it right in my resources list, but they call it the KGI, Glucose Keto Index. Here we go.
Okay.
And I'll give you the link. So it explains what it is. And let's see, chat. I bet we have a lot of chat going on. And anybody else has any, you know, input on this or, you know, specific experience with this kind of stuff, we love to hear it. So what you do is you take, and your meters in Canada probably show it, but I can put like my numbers in. So when I was doing I was doing a 5-day fast. By the end of the first day, my numbers were, my glucose was like 56 and my ketone was like 4.5 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my index is 0.69. What that is maximum therapeutic level of ketosis.
Right?
Doesn't have to be there. She can be in a moderate level, but that's, the, you know, right around this 3 to 6 is where you're going to get really good results when you have a metabolic imbalance. And sometimes that just like will trigger the what do you call it, the fat burning.
Okay.
So I put mine in here. Mine was a MGL, but you can choose it and do it differently. I think it allows you to put in the other number. So just put it in there. And so say she gets down to, so she's 85, right, in glucose. Now say she measures her ketones and they're 1.1. We're going to see she's a 4.29, which puts her in that 3 to 6, which is actually in a decent range, right? So you don't have to get your ketones too high, but the higher you get it, the more you're getting into that therapeutic range. And for me, I can do it really quickly because I've done so many fasts. So my body adapts. Before that, it used to take a couple of days to get my ketones that high and my glucose that low. But the more you do it, the more you get used to it and the more your body gets into that fat burning mode.
Right. Okay. I'll work on that with her. Yeah.
Okay.
She's learning to trust me.
That's good. That's good. She gave you that whole history. And, you know, I think it's good that when you can get a family member to trust you. So.
Yeah. She runs everything by me now, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Getting a little tiring. I have to comment on everything.
You have to comment on it. But it's good. I mean, you'd rather than her just going off and yeah.
I love it. I also did add in the chat, Dr. Umir, because I forgot to upload it, her organic acid test. Just take a really quick glance at it. I've gone over it with her a long time ago, and I haven't reviewed it recently.
Where is it?
It's up by time.
I didn't know you can upload it. I'm not going to be able to show it because it's going to go to my.
That's okay, because everybody else can open it too once I've uploaded it. There.
Okay, so.
I've actually got it open if you want me to share my screen.
I'll just share a different screen.
Okay.
Yeah. Whoops, did it open? There it is. Oh, it's a zip. Yeah, I don't know about that.
It didn't.
Open file. Yeah, it says open file. There we go. And I'll share it real quick. Stop share, and then I'll start a new share. New share. Is this over?
This was the biggest bang for our buck for her to do some testing.
Yeah, she did. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's got a bunch of gut fungal and yeast markers, right? Mm-hmm. So that needs to be addressed.
Yep.
Bacterial markers are not bad. And the Clostridia, so definitely a yeast issue, and you know how to do that, you know, deal with that. You know, not terrible, just a slight elevation here in the succinate. And why did we talk about that one before? That was a big one, right? Because it was related to all the B vitamins and magnesium. So that's another issue to look at there. Mitochondrial markers, amino acid. So 6.7, a little bit high on that. So I think, you know, again, we talked about protein. I think the amino acids are really important here. Neurotransmitter, what did we talk about? Way off. Norepinephrine. Norepinephrine's off the charts because she's a stress bunny, right? Yeah. Her tryptophan metabolite's really high. So it's the norepinephrine, epinephrine, which, and then the so I think maybe if you can give her some serotonin support, okay. You know, 5-HTP and B6 and that sort of stuff's going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. B2. And you know what? That was the one that was a precursor to 6 and 8. When we look at that, I don't know if I still have that one open, but so B2 is an important one for her. And let's see. And most of the rest of it's pretty balanced, you know? The amino acids are showing low, but you know, low amino acids on organic acid don't really mean you're deficient. It just means you don't have inborn errors of metabolism. We're really looking for highs
there
that show pathway imbalances. So yeah, so the B, overall B2 address yeast problems and, amino acids. Yeah. And serotonin.
Yeah.
I think we got it all before we even looked at the test, which is why I feel like very good about, you know, when you do a good history and you really kind of dig into things, you can oftentimes predict what it's going to be. I usually use tests to confirm things or when I'm like, what the heck is going on here? I've been doing everything I know how to do and nothing's working. And then I look at them, but it's important to know how to look at them. All right.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You are welcome. So how's everybody doing so far? How's this for your first time here, Julie and Angelica? Is this like blowing you out of the water?
No, yeah. It's really interesting. This is Julie. I'm just kind of making dinner in the background. So, my video's off, but I didn't want you guys to see me walking around left and right and noisy. But yeah, no, very, very interesting. So thanks for letting me be a fly on the wall here.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you'll see Susan, I don't think it's on. I didn't see Susan, but Susan said the same thing when she's first joined the group. And she was like, you know, she's like, during the headlights. And after a while, she like, it starts to sink in. And then you start to see things and you start to see the patterns even before you've gone through all the modules.
Yeah, no, it's great. Thank you.
Yeah. What did you think, Angelica?
Same. I mean, I'm definitely getting flashbacks to nutrition classes in college. So that's good that I'm dredging that up. But yeah, I'm a little overwhelmed, but I trust that with time I'll.
Oh yeah. And this is a case study call. We've got Shonda's been in here for 4 years and Susan for 3. You know, they've been doing this for a really long time. And so you will get there. You know, anybody that's relatively new will say the same thing. It's like, it was challenging at first, but
I'm fascinated with this brain time thing that Shonda was talking about. So
that Heike was having
a nice little noodle nugget of info to look into too.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always those little nuggets that we get from each other. And I think that, you know, honestly, if you're going to come, the first call to come to be one of these, it's pretty overwhelming. You know, it should be like you're in just an open coaching call where we're just chatting about different things and asking lots of questions. But these are good. We do these once a month and it helps us to get really in depth. So thank you. And Claudia and Heike, you guys have only been doing this for like the last 3-4 months. So it's probably like the similar thing to you guys too, right? All right. So I'm going to do Claudia's case. Glucose ketones, yeah. All right. So Claudia's was here.
And it's, and my person is my sister too, and she's actually sitting right next to me.
Oh my goodness.
She's visiting from Germany and wants to, like, she's been doing the sweet spot, like, just joined me, kind of doing the blood sugar. Her blood sugar is way better than mine. I'm always, like, I'm asked, like, can I ever be lower than you?
That's funny.
So, yeah, so she lost 70 pounds.
70?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so it's all really great, except for the thyroid that she's been on medication for, like, I don't know, about 20 years or something. Okay. And, like, the low energy, fatigue, and I can't remember what else we put in as symptoms.
So you're a nurse, 165'9", so still has maybe a little bit more weight that you want to go.
Yeah, my mom just texted us, don't lose more weight, you look too skinny. I'm
like, moms always do that.
Yeah.
56, okay. And anything in particular, lots of bronchitis, so you have had lots of infections, a lot of the standard kid, you know, childhood stuff. Low energy, fatigue, thyroid issues. Not sure if hypo or hyper.
Yeah, because she was on iodine initially for like what, the first 10 years or something. Mm-hmm. And then she was switched to this combination thing because one of her glands is swollen or bigger and large. And she takes this L-thyro, I can't pronounce this, L-thyro something combination. So it's iodine.
T3, T4 probably.
Hmm?
Yeah, thyroxine and
So it's both iodine and thyroxine, whatever you
call it. Iodine and thyroxine together, that's unusual. We don't usually do that here in the States.
Yeah, it's in Germany. She lives in Germany, so it's
All right, and have you been tested for antibodies?
Well, I uploaded the labs from, well, my birthday present to her was the my lab, the Your Lab Works.
Nice.
Lab work. Joshua, she and I gave her a lab work.
Okay, so this is what she got?
That's the German one, and then the other one, and that's all they test, by the way, where like, they only test the TSH, and that was normal, and then the other one, the other one is from Your Lab Works that shows too high in the, if you go to the second page, the...
Okay. So first of all, I'm going to take a moment. Did you see how I showed the report that Shonda did? So one of the ways that we're going to present whenever you're presenting a case is to put it in the master tracker minimum,
okay.
And then in the other. And if you need help with that, go to one of the next, I think it's a couple of weeks, Lynn's going to be doing one of those orientation calls.
Okay.
How to do that because I don't memorize ranges. What I do is, I mean, some things I know ranges, but
right.
I don't memorize the ideal ranges. And these are usually these are the lab ranges, not the ideal ranges.
Right, right.
And so, and when we look at it in either the lab work software that we just looked at it in or my master tracker, I get a picture and you'll learn to do that too. You'll start to see.
You mean the optimal DX?
Yes. Yes.
That costs like $75 a month. I mean, I don't have.
No, it's free for us.
Oh, it is?
We got you free subscriptions for it.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
Yes, yeah, so Lynn, make sure they got that. If they didn't already get that, make sure that they're getting that. Hopefully.
Okay, and I will definitely do that because I like that one too. Yeah. I didn't know that, we get that for free.
No, and it's while you're a student and then you can buy your own when you're done. But we have a master account where you're all sharing the one account, so you don't have your own separate.
Okay, place. Great.
But I have my own account, and then we have the student account, and you guys get free access. So, Lynn, if you're still on, make sure that we. Is she still on? I can't tell. Make sure that we get that. There she is. Yeah. So find out. You know, you've been sending them over the lists as we get new people in. Okay. And then what's the method for knowing that they got it? Do they write back to you and say, hey, I got this and they're all set up? Or how does that work?
Yeah, they should send you a welcome email.
But do they get back to you, though? Do they get back to you and say, hey,
I send them the list and they say, yep, everybody's going to send a welcome email.
Okay. So possibly Julie and Angelica don't have, they don't have their names.
Oh, yeah, they haven't. No, they haven't.
Because they're brand new. Yeah. But as far as Claudia.
Because they signed up in November at Shine. So, yeah.
Do either of you remember getting an email from them with your user ID and password? No.
No, I don't.
Usually what they do is they give you, yours wouldn't have been done yet, Julie, but Heike or Claudia. Because you guys haven't, gone through that process yet for sending over the names. But what happens is, if you go there, usually they use the same user ID and password as they have for their INE site, right? Is that correct?
That they have been doing that. If they just changed it so the password has to be longer than what we were doing. They grandfathered in everybody else, but now I have to go in and kind of massage it a little bit because some of them are like,
you send them the password you want them to have. Is that correct?
Yes.
So what you can do is then look at your list and for, Claudia, Heike and all the others that join, give them what you gave them and just ask them to log in and see if it works. Or you log in as them. That would be even better. Mm-hmm. Log in as them and see if it works. And if it does, then just send out an email and let them know.
Okay.
And then was the email supposed to come from you or from Optimal DX?
It would probably come from them with that information in it.
I just searched my email inbox. There's nothing. So, I searched for both yours and... Okay.
It should have been Optimal DX. They may have also...
It used to be called Optimal Software.
Okay. It doesn't show up anything.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway.
I'm just going to check up on that and get back to you guys as soon as possible. And, just check them and, just randomly pick one of them and log in as them and see if it works. They may have set it up and just not gotten around to sending the emails yet. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to glance at this. So what's the particular...
The antibodies were very high. And the next, there you go.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. So,
and the ferritin is very low. And the vitamin D is low too.
Cholesterol is low too. I mean, it's not what I would call dangerously low, but it's low, which makes me think, most people when it's below 150, there may be some imbalances there that would create imbalances in sex hormones and in cortisol levels, DHEA, cortisol. Okay, so vitamin D is, where's her number? CRP, this is just, vitamin D, 38? Okay, yeah, it's low. So vitamin D supplementation can be very helpful, super important, critical for Hashimoto's and any autoimmune disease, super important for any kind of leaky gut because it helps with the permeability of membrane, super important if there's any depression or any kind of neurological symptoms because it affects all that. It affects the immune system. So D, I don't know about Shonda. I don't remember if Shonda had it done, but make sure your sister has adequate levels of D. And to me, adequate levels mean above 75, 75 to 90, 75 to 100.
She has a numbness in her left leg that happens when she stands. So that could be neurological too, right? That could be a vitamin D.
Numbness in the left leg?
Yeah.
What about, and you said, did you do any other testing on, let me see. So there's the glucose is 99. So that's high.
Well, usually hers is super low. I think when I got that test done, it was 100. I think, I don't know. Usually hers is like super low. Okay. Like she doesn't ever go over 110 after eating ever. And it's, usually I think that's just a test. I don't know.
Well, sometimes you get that, you know, white coat syndrome.
Yeah. And it's a weird lab. Yeah, I don't know. I was so upset when I was there. It took so long for me to.
So TSH is 1.8, and you're on the medication right now. T4, 1.5.
You didn't take the medication the day of the lab, so.
Okay, so here's something I want you guys to look at. So T4 free and T3 free. This is well within range. It's right within the middle of the ideal range, the T4, but the T3 is below the ideal range. This is not the ideal range. The ideal range for T4, free T4, is like 0.9 to, 1.9 or 2. Whereas the T3, it's more like 3 to 4, and she's at 2.6. So a conversion issue. So converting from T3 to T4 to T3 is not happening optimally. And in the master tracker, which I'm going to just pull up in a second because I want to show you guys there's a chart in there that you can really tell if somebody is under conversion of their thyroid by going to is it bulletin board? Resources. Here we go. NEPT resources, Master Health Tracker. Well, you've seen your Master Health Tracker because you're
right.
In the ERC, but we have a link to the this should be the Google Doc. And you can't, this is a template, so you can't write in this. I can because I own it, but you guys can't write in it. You have to download it. But if you go out here and you look at the list, there's something called the TS Diagrammer Tool. TS Diagrammer Tool. There we go. TS Diagrammer Tool. And what you do is you take your numbers and you put them in here to see where they line up. And you can tell if they're under converting or over converting. So if I look at your numbers over here, right? So hers is 1.8. I'm just going to jot it down so I don't forget. 1.8. Oh, what happened? 1.8, 1.5, 2.6. So we put them into this tool. Where did it go? So 1.8 in TSH. So we look at the range up here. So the range is as below. So we look to where does it fall? 1.8. It falls right here, right at the perfect normal. Okay. So we say 1.8. We put it there. Now we look at the free T4, 1.5. So we begin, we go here and we go, 1.5. And then we look at the 2.6 and we go down here. The ideal is that all three of those numbers are in the same line or close to the same line. Nobody's perfect, right? But what we see here is a huge disparity between the free T4 and the free T3. Do you see that?
Yeah.
That means it's an underconversion. So we want to look at factors that do the underconversion. Now, in the thyroid module, we go into all the detail about this, but if you want to get like quick access to this stuff, you go into the client program, like where your ERC program is. But if you go to everybody has access to this program, which is all my programs for that we use for clients. And you go to the main site here and go to the one that says Thyroid Revive and Thrive. And I'm going to give you a shortcut, print out the book that's in part 5, because it gives you a reference and a quick reference to everything that's going on with the thyroid. Yeah, you want to learn all the other stuff too, but it's a real good reference. So we go to part 5 and there's a booklet called Thyroid Balancing Step by Step. So we go down to, it's called Thyroid, I call it Step by Step. It's Thyroid Balancing Protocols right here in part 5. So we download this and I'll put this link into the chat so you guys can download it. I'm going to show you quickly how to use this because I think it's an invaluable tool. I'm into shortcuts. I'm into making things easy. So I have like the quick, I don't have to look things up in 5,000 places. Okay. Where is my chat? My chat disappeared. All right. Where's my chat? Okay. The chat box isn't showing. Where is that there? Darn it. I'm gonna, Lynn, I'm going to put it in your teamwork chat and you can just send it off. Put it in the chat for me because I can't get the chat to work. All right. There it is. Lynn will put that in the chat just to make it easy for you to find it again. But if you go through here, it has table of contents. Okay. It talks to you about general thyroid support and then it goes patterns of thyroid imbalance, the common patterns. There's, you know, I put down 8 of them. There's probably 22 really finely. You know, you don't need to know all that. So if we go to thyroid underconversion right here, we click that and we go to the page and it talks about, well, what causes it? Well, illness, immune system, chronic stress, inflammation, blood sugar imbalance. There's all kinds of things that can do it. What do you find? Normal TSH, normal T4, low T3. That's exactly what she has. Her T4 is, you know, it's pretty much normal. Supportive lifestyle interventions, food first, then supplementation. So I give you some nutrients. And then in addition to this, so this is this cheat sheet summary of the thing. So you don't just do that, right? You do the intervention. So you go through the lifestyle. And so we go through, the thyroid balancing step by step. There's the self-assessments, but then there's the foundational support. You want to go through all of these and make sure, like, check them off. Okay. We're doing that. Okay. We're doing that. Oops. Here's one that we need to be working on. Up, doing that, doing that, doing that. And it just goes on, you know, for several pages before it goes into. What I always tell people is assume that you've got a thyroid receptor resistance. And let me tell you why. Thyroid receptor resistance will not show up in the lab test. It will show up as perfectly normal lab tests, but basically the receptors on every cell are busted. They're not allowing, similar to insulin resistance, right? Mm-hmm. So if you go, oh, this person has Hashimoto's, I'm going to work on the Hashimoto's. This person has low conversion, I'm going to work on that. But you don't also work on the receptor resistance. You may do all those things and not get better because there's a receptor resistance. So you want to look at some of these things and make sure that we have those things under control. So where is it? Oops. Oh, and then there's these beautiful charts, which I'm not going to go into. We go into all the details of that. That'll take me a couple hours to explain.
But it explains how to deal with the receptor resistance.
It explains it. But she's also got Hashimoto's. So she want to deal with, want to look at the protocols for autoimmune.
Yeah, she's HLA homozygous in the genetics. The HLA, isn't that related to
that's related to immune system and usually related to gluten intolerance. So this means 100% gluten avoidance.
Okay.
Not 50%, not 75%, not 95%, mm-hmm. but 100%. And those are some of the things I picked up in here is that you're still doing gluten and dairy on a regular.
No dairy.
She's vegan. But yeah. Vegan, sugar-free salads, curds, chia and cashew yogurt. Those all sound great. Almonds and fruit, sweet stop protocol, but gluten daily. Okay. Now you will never, ever heal a Hashimoto. I won't say never. I'll say you're 99.9% certain not to heal a thyroid condition, especially Hashimoto's, unless you get on gluten-free.
Okay.
And soy is a good idea to get away from, at least do it for a couple of months and then try it back. And only in fermented forms, you know, tempeh, miso, natto, things like that.
Okay.
Very little processed food, but still some. So this is the tweak I would make dietarily is to get really strict about this because I've never seen somebody with thyroid heal, but I've seen people heal from thyroid within 6 months of going gluten-free, getting their blood sugar under control and, you know, taking care of the stress and the lifestyle. So those are the things I would look at.
And I have two more questions. So the medication is, would you recommend that she continues to take that or?
Do not stop thyroid medication.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. But what you want to do is note and get tested regularly because as you start to shift the underlying biochemistry, what she might see is that the TSH goes way too low. Right. It's at a perfect spot right now. If it starts to go under 1, then maybe backing off a little bit on that medication, which means talking to the doctor about backing it off a bit.
Okay.
And I had somebody who, you know, she went on Sweet Spot and she did that for 3-4 months, lost a ton of weight, was, you know, 75 pounds off of her, was doing great, and went back to the doctor, a different doctor than she'd ever seen before, said, huh, this doesn't look like you. Took her off all her medication for a month and said, come back in a month and we'll see what you need. Expecting that she was going to, you know, need to just adjust doses. Didn't need anything. Didn't need the thyroid medication she'd been on for 50 years.
Wow.
So 50. But she was strict about this. So, you know, doing all the Sweet Spot pieces, not just the diet, right? You know how to do all that. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, the gluten is a big part of it. The gluten and the dairy and she's already off dairy, but the soy and any other allergens.
Okay. And for the ferritin, for the low ferritin, is it, would you recommend an iron supplement or just eating?
Yeah. So I don't see iron and ferritin, which is my objection to that test. It doesn't have iron in it, but so we don't know. I mean,
well, now, iron is, isn't the iron when you get tested for the hemoglobin? Isn't that the one when you do that, when you donate blood, it's usually very low for her.
Hematocrit is what they usually test there. They spit.
Yeah, oh, I see.
Yeah. And this is, let's see, her white blood cells, red blood cells, hemoglobin is normal, hematocrit's normal, MCV is normal.
It was low in her German test, but I think it's different measurements, so I will put it in the health tracker next time.
Yeah, put it in the health tracker, you'll point it out. So, yeah, so with the ferritin low like that, you might want to do, even if you, whether you want to do an iron supplement or an herb like yellow dock. Amazing herb that can bring up, I've seen it bring up iron in 6 weeks.
I take that.
You do? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So yellow dock or one of the food kinds like raw, vitamin code raw iron is a good one. Perk has a good one. These are ones I've worked with and seen people raise their irons in 6 weeks. Okay.
Great.
Does your sister have any questions?
I don't know. No, she does not. But the iron supplements, I can find them on your website somewhere, right? The ones you just mentioned.
Well, if you go to DSS, you can find them. Yeah.
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 Perk. Okay.
Perk is a good one. Yeah. And then the vitamin code is also there too.
Vitamin code and perk.
Okay. Vitamin code raw iron is like a food form iron. It has a lot of cofactors.
Okay.
Okay. And the perk is not just iron because it's really, you don't want to just take iron. It's got the iron and the C and the B vitamins to go with it, the B6 and 12 and folate.
Okay.
Okay.
Yay.
Yay. Woohoo. We made it. And 3 family members tonight. Isn't that fun? All of you had family members to work on. So does anybody have any comments or questions? I haven't been reading the chat because I've been so focused here. But Shonda, what did I say that I wanted you to make a point of? I forget what I said to make sure that, because you weren't there. What did I say, Lynn?
No, I'm here. I was listening.
So you heard what I said, Shonda. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just was.
You just turned your video.
Yeah. Yeah, I just turned my video off.
Yeah, no problem.
But I was here. It was about vitamin D, I think.
It was the D. Yeah, make sure her D is.
Yeah. Is and her D was low and it's come up to the 90s.
Keep it coming up. Might get it into. Because here's what a lot of people do. They take supplements and they get good numbers and then they stop because they figured they're good. And a lot of doctors tell them to do that. Or they get a stool test and it shows all these imbalances and then they take all this stuff and they do all these herbs and then they get a good test and then they stop cold turkey. No, it's kind of like blood sugar. If suddenly you like your blood sugar is all good and then you just go back to doing other stuff, it goes bad again, right? So what you want to do is just that wean off. I'll tell you what I do with people with H. pylori. If I do an H. pylori retest and, you know, like this woman I was saying about before, after 2 months, I did an H. pylori retest and it was normal. Did I say, okay, stop all your H. pylori stuff? I said, no. I said, cut it in half and let's do it. Let's test it again in a month. Okay, cut it down again and let's test it again in a month because that rebound is it's bad. You know, when somebody gets something healed and then they have a rebound, it's usually worse than it was before, right? Because you've cleared out the field, the playing field mostly. And now it's like, ooh, all the competition is gone too. Let me get out there and really do it. So, yeah. Okay. Janet?
It's funny because I just had that conversation with her.
You did? It's so common among naturopaths. It drives me nuts. People say, oh, I had that test done 3 years ago. Oh, what happened with that test? Well, it showed me that I had low adrenals and I took some herbal tinctures that the doctor gave me. And I said, okay, for how long? Oh, about 3 months. And then what did the retest show? We didn't do a retest. So what did you do after 3 months? Oh, I just stopped. Like, you know, and it's one of those things that's subtle, right? So when you stop it, it doesn't immediately go, okay, my face broke out again, so I got to start it again. It could be months of going down that trail again that you just climbed out of the mud and you're just like right back in it. So I think it's really important to go slow. Yeah. Same thing with the supplements like we do on Sweet Spot. People say, okay, I'm really good now. Should I just stop my DHA and my S? No. Stop one of them by 25%. If you start to gain weight and your blood sugar starts going up, you better go back on it. If it doesn't, good. Just watch for those signs. The belly fat comes back, the brain fog, the fatigue, you know, all that stuff. And just we want to go slowly. And it's not fun, you know, so we really have to be there for people. That's a big part of the whole process is like being there and supporting them when it gets difficult. Yeah. Cool. Who else? I see Lynn Rose just came on and Janet just came on. You guys might have been on all along. And I see Drina there. Drina, you know, I'll use veterans. Any things you want to add to this? Anything I missed? I see Karen, Elisa, Lynn Rose, Shonda, anybody?
Just another great, great evening. Thank you so much. Hi to my study buddy, Shonda.
Hey, I'm glad you're studying together. That's so cool. Yeah. And those of you who are new, you know, a study buddy is helpful. And so, you know, Lynn can help support you in finding one.
Yeah. I don't know if Julie is still on, but yes, Julie, meet Janet.
I'm here.
I think you live very near each other.
Oh, Janet, where are you?
Presently, I'm in Astoria.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm in Portland.
Oh, well, I have family in Washougal. I go through Portland all the time.
So. Oh, that's so cool. We're close.
Yes, we are. We're going to have tea one day.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll connect with you offline.
Great, great.
Wonderful. And anybody else? Lynn Rose, meet Angelica. I met her at our potluck last month, and you've probably met her in Laura Fine's class, right? Or no, you're not in that. You did that one last year.
Where's Angelica?
Angelica's over here.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, she's in Laura's, you know, you did that one last year, the one and two.
But she lives in Austin.
So she came to the potluck last month and you didn't.
I know, I was busy.
You were busy. Susan didn't either. I missed you guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, Lynn Rose, if you need a study buddy, let me know.
Okay. Well, Susan and I get a lot together, get together and do stuff too, so.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, then, yeah, you can add on. Where do you live? You live up by me more close. No, you live more middle. You live further away. But they live down, well, they live in the boonies.
In the boonies.
Yeah. And then we have Annette's also in. And Eva's on. I saw Eva on earlier. She's in Austin. And Annette's in Austin.
I'm actually in Pflugerville, Dr. Rita Marie.
In Pflugerville.
I moved about 8 months ago.
Oh, you moved to, I didn't realize, I knew you were moving. I just saw to a different house. I didn't know. Because you were in South Austin, right? Down.
Yeah, it's North Austin now.
Now you're in North Austin. So you're closer to me now.
Yes.
Great.
Okay, cool. Well, you'll have to come, why don't you come to our potlucks?
I know. And Ed and I are planning for sure.
The 30th. The next one's on the 30th.
Okay.
Yeah.
We will have to
be in there.
We'll have to come.
Been there because she was in town once for it. They're a lot of fun. Good. Okay. Anybody else before we go? It's late. I appreciate you guys, your geekiness of staying online, you know, on a perfectly good Tuesday night to just like absorb all this stuff. And I guarantee you, the more you hear, the more you see, the more it just becomes a natural part of the way you think and the way you speak, right? Those of you who have been around a while, and Lynn Rose has been in, she's also a nurse, and that was turned homeopath. She cut out of the conventional Western stuff and got into the alternative stuff when she saw the writing on the walls down there. So, yeah. All right, guys. Great to see you. Who's coming to the retreat? Who's coming? May 14th, 16th, yeah? All right. Yee-hoo! Come on, Shonda. We have yet to meet in person after all these years.
What you got? I know, but I'm spending 3 weeks in New Zealand starting next Wednesday. So.
Oh, my God. Oh. That sounds lovely. I've been there. Lynn Rose, you were holding up a book. Well, tell us about that. Is that your book? Yay! I bought it on Kindle. I started to read it. So open up your line. So Lynn Rose wrote a book. Tell us a little bit about your book. And she's got it out there. She's got it published and it's on Amazon.
Just finally got it done.
Yay!
It's small. There's not a whole lot to it, but I had to put the words down. So it's a start.
It's a start. And share with everybody what that experience was like. Like, was it a really hard thing to do once you had it written to get it onto Amazon and onto Kindle?
Yeah, because they don't just mesh very well. You know, the create space got bought out.
Yeah.
So Amazon Kindle is what you have to do. And formatting, I had a friend help me do it. I don't know how it wouldn't have got done if she hadn't done it for me. And it was a nightmare.
Oh,
doesn't work. It doesn't play well with things. So, you know, even
you mean their interface.
I couldn't do the cover the way I wanted it because it just wouldn't let you do it. So there was just some things I just had to settle for.
Oh, bummer.
That's okay.
I'll have to see what happens with mine because I know that when we did it, you had to make the cover as one big graphic with the spine in the middle, and I didn't know how to do that, so I...
In order to get it on the binder, you know, when you do the paper book,
yeah,
you know, they have certain things, and it just was a real nightmare for her. But
oh, bummer. You got it done, though.
Got it done.
It's there, and it's out there. So go to Kindle, look up Lynn Rose DeMartini. What's the name of the book?
What's the name?
Coming Full Circle.
Coming Full Circle.
Yeah, if you just look up my name, you'll find it.
Yeah, I bought it on Kindle, and I started reading it. I'll probably read more of it when I'm traveling.
It's a quick read.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Congratulations. Yay. It looks nice. Did you design that cover?
Well, the graphic my son made me a long time ago, and it had the title in it. So I don't know if you can see it. Let's see over here.
Futility to fulfillment.
Coming full circle.
Coming full circle.
But trying to get it, you know, the name on the cover just didn't work. So, it wasn't the way I wanted it, but it's okay.
It looks good. Yeah. You did it. You know, done is better than perfect.
Yep.
My motto.
Yep.
Right? Done is better than perfect. Taking perfect action.
I sat around for a long time waiting to do that.
Mine did on the hard drive for 4 years.
Yeah.
Almost 95% written for 3 years. Because I couldn't remember. I couldn't come up with a title, so
yeah,
I let it.
10 years, so. Yeah.
10 years? Okay, you got it longer than me. Now that it's up there, I haven't done anything to promote it. Oh, well, someday. Or I'll write another one. All right, guys. Have a great evening. I look forward to seeing those of you who are coming in into May. It's an amazing experience. Those of you who have been there before, would you agree that it's like phenomenal experience being together with everybody and sacred grounds and amazing food and amazing company and a lot of transformations and Laura will be there and in and out and, you know, popping in and out to help us with certain things. She and I did the day after Shine when we did our day after Shine retreat. That's usually at my house. We did it at the hotel and Laura stayed around the whole day and it just turned out to be a dual coaching thing, which was amazing. Wasn't it? It was like, I was magical that we were just, everybody got a little bit of her stuff and a little bit of mine and we got put it together and it was magical. So I'm hoping we could do some more of that at the retreat as well. So, all right, everybody, take care. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.